Let's Hear for the Girls is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise.
Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard.
You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios and Speak Boise at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios,
speak and be heard.
Let's Hear for the Girls is brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprint specializes in making your organization more visible with custom brand apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. You want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com Boise or call 208 Imprint. That's 208-467-7468. Yeah.
Hi. We didn't know when to start, so we guessed.
Hi, Erin.
Hi, Colin. Oh, your little cord's wrapped around your chair.
I don't want to choke and die.
I had an experience today I'd like to share with you.
Oh, God.
They had an emergency water shutoff at our apartment complex, formerly our you and I apartment complex. So my ass had to go to the YMCA to take a shower.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
They've done that before.
We got one good flush in the toilet today, and that is it for the day. So
where is Seth doing? Like,
he's just at home applying for jobs, and he's so bored. He's literally looking out the window, and I'm like, sweetheart, watch TV. That was pretty much it. So that's what I was like, shit, I gotta go to the Y and like
shower. Did he work out at least?
Shower. No.
No, she was just like, I'm gonna get a quick one in, guys.
I came in my jammies. No joke.
You are.
I was that person today.
Please, with like a messy bun, you're like,
yes.
And in your glasses to your nose.
In the most unflattering pajama bottoms.
No, already. Erin.
Yeah, it happened.
You're supposed to at least wear some workout gear so people like have some illusion.
I don't care.
She's not here for the illusion.
I'm not here for the illusion. We have a lot to discuss today, but first I have, well, okay. What are you watching? Let's start with that. I have to sneeze. I'm so sorry, everybody.
I sneeze.
Just talk. It went away. Oh, it went away.
Damn it.
Damn it.
Achoo. There you go.
Achoo.
I haven't been watching anything because like I typically, we'll talk a little bit about after the podcast what I do after I get off work.
Okay.
I rob banks. That's it, people.
A professional bank robber.
Yes. I'm Catwoman. Can you imagine me
amazing.
As Catwoman? That would be hilarious.
You'd be a great Catwoman.
Yeah. No, I haven't really been watching TV. I've been rewatching, just like, I'll just throw something on. I'm not even watching it.
I see.
I rewatched this last weekend, though, with some friends. Not really friends. New acquaintances. Barb and Star go to visit Mar for like the second time. And I laughed my ass off.
I'm so happy to hear that.
I laughed my ass off. And I'm not a comedy kind of girl.
I know you're not.
Very specific.
I know you're not.
But that movie just does something to me every single time.
That's so, I'm going to have to watch it now.
It's hilarious.
Recommendation. Yeah, thanks for the invite.
You can watch it. Come over.
You all can come over. So I have some opinions on
What have you been watching?
I have some opinions on the recent Marvel movies we have been watching.
Oh, okay. No. Okay.
So the last, I think where we left off was Winter Soldier.
Yes.
And then we watched Black Panther, which of course I had seen before. Of course it was amazing. And it was sad this time because Chadwick Boseman is no longer with us.
Could I just say something about that movie?
Sure.
And since we're on it, a few things.
Yeah.
When I watched that movie with a guy I was seeing at the time, mm-hmm. and he was a big Marvel fan too, like bigger than I am.
Okay.
And this movie is the reason why I'm such a big fan. I watched the movie going in at it excited, but not going to, it's going to be like very critical because I was like, oh, so there's going to be something. At the end of the movie, I cried.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. And I watched it in theaters when it first came out and I was crying. And my boyfriend at the time, who was white, was like, you know, that's such a good movie. And I'm like, tears, and he's like, oh, why are you crying? And I'm just like, as a little black boy, the only, like, you had Blade and Spawn. Spawn wasn't, I don't even know what Spawn is, but do you know what Spawn?
First I'm hearing of it. So no, oh, I know Blade, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
but like,
Spawn. We can talk about Spawn.
Okay.
And so like you didn't have like an actual black superhero. And like there's some other like black cinema, like superhero movies. That was the first black.
Yeah.
And I was just like, now that I think about my nephew who wasn't created in the world yet, I think about my nephew and he gets to see this and he loves superhero movies. And it just like, it just felt so good to see like that on the big screen. But anyway, continue. Now it's very sad.
Well, now it's very sad, but I picked up so much more on some nuances in the film too, and I was more familiar with some of the actors now. Like, I had never heard of Daniel Kaluuya before.
Yeah.
So when I watched it the first time, I'm like, who is this? But of course, everyone knows Lupita Nyong'o because she's amazing. Mm-hmm. So that was amazing. So I was no qualms with that. I'll watch Black Panther any day of the week.
Every day, any day.
My issue, and I feel very strongly, Doctor Strange was the dumbest fucking thing I have ever seen in my entire life.
What?
I watched it and I was like, here's the thing. Here's why I was disappointed. That one was like, I had not seen it. I had not.
Oh my God.
But I love Benedict Cumberbatch because he, and Tilda is in it. Hello. Like, Seth looked at it and he's like, oh my God, who did he think it was? It was so funny. He was like,
Oh, Tilda Swinton?
Yeah, he thought it was someone else. And I had to like really tell him that like, no, those are two very different people. Shoot, I can't remember at the time. But it was not a good movie. I was rewriting it in my head as I was watching it.
What?
They tried to do so much in 2 hours. They tried to do too much in 2 hours.
I think that's one of my favorite Marvel movies.
That I
was so shocked. Like, it doesn't
Sling get Ring. Think of a better name. I just was like,
from the comics.
I understand it's from the comics. I did not like the story. I thought here's why my issue with it was because they tried to pack in so much, and it's just like, but at the same time, I'm like, when the fuck is this going to be over?
Oh my God.
I disliked it thoroughly.
Wow.
But.
Okay.
But the next one was Thor Ragnarok, and you told me I would love it, and I fucking loved it.
I knew you would.
That was amazing. I would watch that again. I love that Matt Damon is in it.
Yeah.
You know, and playing Loki and at the beginning and like the play or whatever. So that one was, and it has Kate Blanchett in it.
Kate Blanchett.
You know Kate what? Goodbye, Blanchett. Everybody, because I can't speak today.
Thank you for coming out.
The Price is Right. It has Kate in it and who we're big fans of. She was so good. And you don't see her in movies like that very often.
Yeah, but that's the hard part about like Marvel movies. Because then they add these really famous, you get these like really famous actors or actresses or, you know what I mean, thespians. And then like they're only in one film.
You've said this before.
Because recently, I haven't started watching it yet. But in Winter's or the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the new show that's on Disney Plus, what's her name from Seinfeld and Veep is in it.
Yeah. Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah. And I'm like, the fuck? You're only going to see her in this. Or like, what's her name in WandaVision? I can't remember. Agnes. I can't remember her name, but she's like been in a few TV shows and movies and she's an incredible actress and she does. And you probably we're not going to see her again.
Yeah.
It's irritating.
Yeah. You said this about when they're doing the Black Widow story and Rachel Weisz is playing Scarlett Johansson's mom and David Harbour. And then you have Florence Pugh, who are all very famous people. But I did like that movie a lot. So it was right after Doctor Strange in like the timeline order on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. So I definitely felt better afterwards because after Doctor Strange, I was like, Do I even want to continue with these movies?
I'm so sad you didn't like that movie, but okay.
I'm bummed. I didn't either.
It's a big concept in a very short time.
Well, and also too, you have Rachel McAdams as just like, just boop, there she is on the side.
I can't wait until she's like kicked out. Like she's supposed to be kicked out. Like she's supposed to be in the next one.
Oh.
But they're supposed to be a second love interest. They released like a lot of new material recently.
Interesting.
But yeah.
But I mean, So that was, I was kind of bummed by that. But Thor Ragnarok, as you predicted, amaze.
True.
Amaze. Okay. So did you look up anything about this movie?
No, I was very good.
Yes. Good. Okay. And you know what? We need to stop lying to our 7 listeners. And we cannot keep saying what we're doing next because it's never right. The film we're talking about today is Booksmart. Booksmart, as you know, Booksmart came out in 2019. Okay. And I'm pulling my notes up because I have a lot of questions for you.
Okay.
Yes. I know you hate it, but okay. Oh, that's funny.
You don't know that.
I don't know that. I have a feeling, though, because you gave me a look earlier today on Teams. Okay, so we have the basics. This is the directorial debut of Olivia Wilde. Okay, we will talk about her way more later. Starring Caitlin Dever, Beanie Feldstein, Jessica Williams, Jason Sudeikis, Lisa Kudrow, and Billy Lord. Okay. I'd like to talk about the writers first. Actually, no. We're going to talk about some other things first, then we'll get back to that, okay?
Okay.
Okay. I would like your guess on Rotten Tomatoes. What was the critic score? No. The tomato meter.
I'm really bad at this.
So am I.
I think it's, can I give you a range or I have to give you a number?
Range is fine.
I think like somewhere between 85 and 90.
96.
Whoa.
Percent.
Okay. That was originally my first number, but then I was like, I don't
seems
know.
A little. And then what's the audience score?
Probably somewhere in the 90s.
77.
Oh, okay.
Pretty weird though, right?
No, that totally makes sense to
you. Yeah. I expected the audience score to be a little higher, at least no. 80. At least
no, that
80,
makes
82.
Sense to me. That
okay.
makes sense to me.
And our IMDb score is 7.2.
Okay.
Okay. So this film's budget was $6 million.
Can see that.
Opening weekend USA, what are we making?
I think they made it or doubled it, so I'm going to say $12 million.
Opening weekend USA, 6.9 million.
Okay.
Gross USA, 22.6 million.
Okay.
And cumulative worldwide is 24, almost 25 million.
Okay.
So they more than doubled it eventually, right? And this movie came out in 2019, like I said, pre-pandemic. I saw this with my parents and my brother in the movie theater in Walla Walla, Washington.
Experience.
A Lasher family experience. We laughed our asses off.
I could totally see
all four of us thought it was so funny. Even my brother, who is, well, I think a little bit more aligned with you and like comedies aren't always like his jam.
No.
You know, it kind of depends.
It's the gay in us. It's like,
it's the gay. It must be.
Life is not that funny.
Entertain me.
Entertain me. Try me.
Like his comedy style is like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which we love, obviously.
Brother's
but,
a good
you know,
man.
Exactly. as far as awards and nominations, this was nominated for Best Original Screenplay for BAFTA. Okay. And then Beanie Feldstein got a nomination for Best Performance by an Actress in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy for Golden Globes.
Okay. I see that.
So let's get into the writers a little bit because there's four of us.
Oh, there's four of us.
So I was just listening to our Mommy Dearest episode, which I know you don't listen to the episodes, but of course I do because I could listen to us talk all day long. We had talked a lot in that episode about how many writers were on Mommy Dearest because it was too many. It was too many cooks in the kitchen. We have four writers here, which is actually what we saw like a couple, like Frida had like four writers. Like four is kind of my cap, I feel like, before it gets a little off the rails, I feel. So this film is like a female powerhouse. We have a female director, we have female stars, we have four female writers. Couple of the producers are Will Ferrell and Adam McKay.
Yeah, the only two. There's like five or six and only two men.
Yeah. And of course you have two very famous people who have produced and written and starred in a million zillion things.
Yes. Okay.
So writers include Emily Halpern, Sarah Haskins, Susanna Fogel, and Katie Silberman. Emily Halpern and Sarah Haskins have like similar backgrounds. They've produced and written for shows like Good Girl, Blackish, The Mayor, which is a newer show.
Yeah.
And then Emily Halpern has directed two short films called Black Best Friend and Rich Girl Problems.
Never seen those.
And then Sarah Haskins has also written episodes for the TV show Carol's Second Act. which I've heard of, but I'm not super familiar with. Susanna Fogel wrote for the TV show Chasing Life, and she wrote the film The Spy Who Dumped Me, which is Kate McKinnon and Mila Kunis.
Well, that explains some things.
Okay. And then Katie Silberman wrote a couple of short films, but she also wrote Isn't It a Romantic with Rebel Wilson, which was a semi-recent film.
Okay.
Okay. And then she also produced Hot Pursuit prior to Booksmart, which has Sofia Vergara and Reese Witherspoon.
Gosh.
So a lot of female-led comedies. Any of this,
but okay, cool.
But Hot Pursuit's from like 2015.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but...
I was a baby then.
He was a baby. I was 22. And so a lot of female-driven comedies, essentially, is what a lot of these writers are coming from. And so before we get into the women, I would love to know your thoughts. This is NPR's Terry Gross.
You're so stupid. Okay.
Your thoughts on the, your thoughts.
What do you think my thoughts are?
Well, I think your thoughts are similar. Not, okay. I don't think you dislike this film like you dislike Lady Bird. I think that overall you don't like comedies. So this film doesn't speak to you in the way it speaks to me. Give me a score out of 10. What's your IMDb score on this?
Okay, no, I'm not going to do that yet.
Oh.
Okay, that's hard truth. I did not dislike this film. I actually liked it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm glad
now,
to hear that.
Hold up. I will say this. I watched this movie twice. I watched it last night.
Okay.
And I was audibly laughing.
Good.
Watched it this morning and I was like, and I found like
I laughed way more the first time.
Okay. Yep. I found a lot of issues with the film. I don't think it's a bad movie. It's definitely better than Lady Bird, but there are certain I think and I hope for this episode we do compare these two films because I feel like I saw a lot of critics kind of comparing it.
Oh, okay.
And I think it would be a good because that was a hot button issue. And I feel like they have a lot of parallels.
Oh, okay.
There are a lot of similar themes and ideas and concepts, and they handle certain situations that like each film had their strengths that I found the other film.
Okay.
So, I, when that's I was watching it, I was reflecting back on Lady Bird. That was another comedy.
Yeah.
And I
less
was,
of a comedy than Booksmart.
It was like a dark
though.
Comedy.
Yeah.
But like
coming of, yeah. Coming I mean, they're both age. Coming of age films, but Booksmart is a comedy, like a buddy comedy, in fact, is how it's labeled.
Yeah.
And you can't say the same about Lady Bird, although it is a darker comedy, right? Okay. So can we get into the women and then we can get into some themes and.
Sure.
Okay. So the three women I want to talk about, Olivia Wilde, Caitlin Dever, and Beanie Feldstein. Okay. So Olivia Wilde, like I said, this is her directorial debut. What is the first thing you saw her in? I really hope it's the same thing as mine.
Oh, shit. I was going to say the same wrong. No, she wasn't in that show.
What?
Oh, God. I don't even know what Olivia Wilde is in.
Oh, really?
What is she in? I just know she's
okay,
famous.
Let me give
isn't
you.
Isn't she married to that the Jason Sudeikis?
She was married to Jason Sudeikis. They are no longer together, but they were married.
Were they married in this while they were producing, while she was directing this?
Think so.
What have I seen her in? That's going to bother me.
So she is in, she's in the TV series House.
She was in House.
Yeah, she's
that was
13.
The first thing. Okay, that's what I thought. I thought it was the chick from Once Upon a Time.
No, that's Jennifer Morrison.
Oh,
who's also in House.
Holy shit, what?
So Olivia Wilde's in the later seasons of House.
Oh, I don't watch that. That doesn't exist
okay.
to me.
So she's in...
They look the same, though, weirdly. Similar, something.
Olivia Wilde has, like, a really strong, like,
jawline. Yeah. Okay.
And so she's also in Year One.
Tron. That's
Tron.
What I think of.
It's Tron. Tron Legacy, Drinking Buddies, and she does a lot of voices for BoJack Horseman.
Oh, yeah.
But I first saw her in The O.C.
She was in The O.C.?
She's the lesbian that kisses Marissa.
I didn't watch The O.C. like that.
Oh, I did. I snuck totally out of my room to watch it because I wasn't allowed to.
Yeah.
Because there was sex.
There was sex.
Yeah, and they were in high school.
Do you hear that, Mr. and Mrs. Lasher? She's watching sex.
My
on
mom
the
is
screen.
Not Mrs. Lasher.
Oh.
She is Miss Scholl.
Miss Scholl. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Miss Scholl. Cheryl Scholl. I'm sorry.
So the next thing we see Olivia doing is directing Don't Worry, Darling, which is her second directorial film, which is a thriller horror classified on IMDb, and it's starring Florence Pugh, Chris Pine, and Harry Styles. Love it. So that's Olivia Wilde. For Caitlin Dever, her first acting appearance, she plays Amy.
Yes.
Okay, and her first acting appearance is in 2009. But we know her from TV shows like Justified. She was on several episodes of Justified.
Never seen it.
And films like Detroit, Beautiful Boy. And then she was on the TV show Unbelievable after Booksmart. I watched Unbelievable. It also stars Merritt Weaver and it stars Toni Collette, who we love.
Yeah.
And it's about a sexual assault case in which she is not believed. Oh. And then it's kind of this serial, it's a person that's like serial, like doing this to other women in different states. And like these two female detectives have teamed up and are trying to solve this case. And she's kind of, but it's about not being believed in the justice system and like how police officers try to persuade you that perhaps it didn't happen, or just kind of the overall process and like how law enforcement is gravely under trained to speak to victims.
Interesting.
And so it's a really good show. Not easy to watch.
Was it on?
It was on Netflix.
Okay.
I think it's a Netflix original, I'm pretty sure. And then the next thing that she's in is, you're gonna love it, Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh God.
You're like so sick of it.
Kill me.
Okay, and then we have Beanie Feldstein, whose first acting credit is in 2002 on My Wife and Kids. Remember that show?
Gosh.
And we first catch notice of her in Lady Bird. She's Jules.
So Lady Bird was like 18?
No, it's like 2017, I think.
Oh, 17. Okay, yeah. Okay.
That makes sense. Then she's in films like How to Build a Girl. I've seen previews for that. And next she plays, you're going to love this. So the first American crime story is the O.J. Simpson trial. The second season is the Versace, Gianni Versace.
So good.
The third season is, do you know what it is?
No.
It's the Bill Clinton impeachment. And Beanie Feldstein plays Monica Lewinsky.
What?
I'm pumped. And guess who plays, who is set to play Bill Clinton?
Who?
Clive Owen.
Who's that?
He's in a lot of like action films. Duplicity. He's in The Bourne Identity. He's in like.
Oh, is, I don't see.
I don't really see it either, but I do love him as an actor.
He's a good actor, but I don't see it.
Yeah, he's in Children of Men. I think that's
the big one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
who's playing Hillary?
I don't know who's playing Hillary.
Oh, that's what I want to
know. I know you want to know, but that's she's playing Monica Lewinsky, which I'm so excited about.
Isn't she a little young for that? Like, young looking. I mean, Monica Lewinsky was
in her 20s.
Jeez.
She was young.
Okay, I can see it. Yeah. I can see it.
But she has, like, Beanie Feldstein has a very, like, high-pitched feminine voice.
Yes, very, like, she...
Girly?
Yes,
girly. Yeah, which I don't love that word, yeah, but that's kind of how...
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, you can.
I can see it.
And
I'll watch that.
And then who is Beanie Feldstein's brother?
Oh, he's a gay guy from whatchamacallit?
What?
I don't know who's her brother.
Jonah Hill.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Jonah Hill is Beanie Feldstein's. So Jonah Hill is his middle name. Feldstein is his last name.
My mind is like melting right now.
They look so much alike.
Yeah, I think of that now. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he has this cute ass tattoo on his arm that says "Hello, Beanie."
Oh, how adorable!
Because she's done a lot of stage stuff too.
Oh, how cute!
Yeah, so they're super close, super tight.
Oh my gosh, they look.
They have the same heart-shaped face. Like, yes. So adorable.
This now I have a new love for this movie now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, which we're going to have to discuss.
Oh, my gosh. So fun. So that American Crime Story season 3, it was supposed to come out last year. Obviously, it didn't because of COVID. So it's coming out this summer? I want to say. Oh, I hope
hopefully.
So.
I watched previews, though.
I watched the first season of American Crime Story in, I'm going to say, 48 hours or less.
It was a good one. The Versace one was good also. Not as good. It's not as good as, because OJ's, I mean, it's.
That was such a gnash. I mean, that was a.
Yeah, whereas the Versace one, it was a big deal if you were really into fashion or if you're queer, because it was like scary.
But the OJ Simpson one, like everybody on, like you'd have to be living under a rock not to know. Right.
People followed more of like the death of Versace in the sense of like the funeral, because like Princess Diana was there and it was like that.
It was high profile.
And then like they followed his sister's track because she was just like Donatella
Versace. Yeah.
Anyway.
So let's get into it. I'd love to know, like, the parallels that you saw. And I'm really glad to hear that you at least like this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like this movie. I think for me, this movie starts off with, you said it's a buddy comedy. It fell in the genre of, surprisingly, Superbad. Like, when I first saw this film, I'm like, this is the female Superbad. To almost a fault.
Oh, really?
I was like, this is a good foundation. And I know a lot of people are like, well, that's not super original. And I'm like, when have we seen a buddy female kind of comedy that centers around like high school teenage girls?
Yeah.
And then finding themselves, like, we have never seen a film like this.
We don't have that.
Right. I felt like this film was far more successful at telling the stories of, like, young girls than Lady Bird, because they were trying to get the audience to root for these girls or love these girls or want to know more about these girls.
Yes.
Whereas Lady Bird was like almost like the director, Greta Gerwig, whatever.
Gerwig.
Oh, I screw up names. It's almost like wanted no opinion, no filter. It's just like, you create your own narrative. And I think that's the problem I had with that film. It's like, she wanted you to create your own narrative of, like, do you like the mother? Do you like, it's like, make your own adventure. Whereas this film was like, no, this is a story. This is a narrative. This is how you will feel at the end.
Yeah.
And I felt like they did a much better job at painting that story or narrative and got me to actually, like, buy into these stories. Cause, like, I remember the scene. Now, this is a scene where I, like, oh, I like this. And then it, like, after this is where I started to notice a problem. The scene that I loved is, like, was it Molly is her name? Beanie
Feldstein, Molly.
So Molly's character is, like, this know-it-all smart girl.
Yep.
Class president, Val Victorian.
Overachiever. Going to Yale.
Yeah. And she has her best friend, Amy. And they are, like, the power best friend kind of twinsies in this kind of
LA high school.
Yeah, very stereotypical. It's the last day of high school. They're graduating, like, the next Saturday or something.
No, it's the next
day. Yeah, so it's Friday, last
day
of school.
This all happens in, like, 24 hours, yeah.
And so she's kind of, like, going to the principal, telling him, like, I want to work on our budget for the next class. And you can just tell she's fucking annoying.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She's an annoying girl. Everyone's just like, I can't wait for her to,
like,
go.
Like, ugh, anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the principal's, like, shooing her away. There is this policy about they can't tell each other the colleges they're going to.
Yes, they have this policy. But the problem with her being annoying and, like, where part of that comes from, I think it's not just because she's smart, like, really smart. It's not just because she's going to grade school. It's not just because she's class president. She looks down on people.
Yes, very.
That's the problem.
And it's very clear. But it sets you up with this kind of, like, and this is why I love this film. It sets you up where, like, this classic, like, she's smarter than everybody, and you could tell because everybody else is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, everybody else in those opening scenes felt way below her.
Yes.
Extremely. So you're like, well, she kind of got a point because everyone seems
right,
because
no one gives a shit.
Yeah, no one gives a shit. That's a perfect phase.
Yeah.
Right? And so you kind of go through the film. She goes to homeroom. She sees her best teacher, who is, oh, my God, what's that actress
Jessica
name?
Williams.
So funny.
Jessica
looks
Williams
beautiful.
Is with Phoebe in Two Dope Queens.
Yes.
It's on HBO. Give it a watch. It's so funny.
She's seen her homeroom with her favorite teacher. They're
Miss Fine.
Miss Vine. Miss Fines. So Miss Fines is cool. I really relate to her. I feel like that's how I would be if I was a teacher.
Yeah.
And she's like, take my number. Like, let's chop it up. Like, just in case. Like,
and they're like, oh, well, my
yes.
God.
And, like, these girls are nerdy.
Nerdy.
These are nerdy. Like, when they
rule followers.
Yes. To a T. When they, like, the best, my favorite part is, like, when they pick each other up. Or when Amy picks up Molly from her apartment. And they're, like, dancing outside for, like, a solid 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is adorable. Like, they're goofy. They're nerdy. They would never break a rule.
They love each other.
They love each other. They're always complimenting each other. It's this really beautiful female friendship.
Yeah.
They're, like, it super felt real.
Right.
So then, kind of fast forward, we get to the scene where she's going to.
Let's do a quick synopsis. Because
yeah, well,
we did.
I isn't this a synopsis?
Kind of. We're just going, well, a little bit. I feel like okay, we're jumping around a little bit.
Okay, we'll go.
Okay, so
I'm excited.
So the film takes place, as Colin said, it starts on the last day of school. Everyone's like partying in the hallways, blah, blah, blah. And so then Beanie Feldstein like goes to the bathroom, and then this girl, this really popular girl and two popular guys walk in. And they basically start talking a bunch of shit about her. And she's in the bathroom stall and she's listening to this.
Yeah, that's where I was getting to.
Oh, I thought, okay. No,
yeah, I was getting to that point.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Then go for it.
This is, okay. No, but thank you. That is the point where like the film gets really interesting because she's in the bathroom stall, which this is a very stereotypical movie trope, right?
Totally. So for a high school film. Yeah. Yes. So
she hears the cool kids talking shit about her in this bathroom, calling her like, and this is the interesting part. They don't ever call her ugly.
No.
Which is a typical trope. They're like, oh, she's a fat cow. Or she's ugly. She's no guy will ever sleep with her. I'll sleep with her a bag over her head. They were talking about her personality.
Yeah.
And how shitty it is.
Like this guy is saying, I would make sweet love to Molly Davidson if I could put a bag over her personality. Yeah,
never diss her body. They're like, yeah, she's actually really cute. She's just a shitty personality.
Yeah, right.
And so you have this point where she like exits the bathroom. It's this classic. She's like washing her hands at the sink. And I'm like, is this could either go two ways? She could like walk away and it's like she's sad or depressed or whatever. Or she could be like the bad bitch, which she does.
Yes.
And she's like, you'll never be this cool. You'll never have all these opportunities. I'm going to get recommendations from the governor. I'm going to Yale. And where are you going? Community college.
Yeah.
And then there's this scene where the girl, AAA.
They call her AAA, yeah.
Because she gets good roadside assistance. Yeah. Love that. That was brilliant.
Pretty funny.
Was like, well, actually, I'll see you at Yale next year.
Yeah, I'm going to Yale too.
And the next student was like, yeah, I'm
playing soccer at Stanford.
And the next one's like, yeah, I got recruited at Google. I'm going to make six figures. Yeah. And it just like flips it on its head. And you have this like this reality. She has this reality. And you as a viewer have this reality of like, oh, shit. Like what? She's like, what the fuck is going on? So she's like, hilariously running through all the hallways. Like, where did you go to school? And they're like, I'm going to Harvard. Where did you go to school? I'm going to Princeton. Like,
right?
Everybody is this achiever. And so, like, from the rest of the film, it's this kind of this storyline of these two girls, these rule followers, trying to become rule breakers. And Molly is just like this, we did it wrong. We didn't do both.
That was her thing. She said, all we did was like study and care about grades. These people did both. They got into great schools and did well. And they still had like a great time in high school and partied it up. And so they're like, holy shit, we have one night to like make up for it. So Nick is the vice president. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And he's really cute and he's a jock. She finds out he's going to Georgetown.
Yeah.
And so they're like, his aunt's having a party. We gotta go.
Yeah,
we have to go.
So it's just kind of like very similar bit, which is very super bad, right?
Wasn't they go to the party.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the premise is like they're going, you know, place to place to place, all these houses trying to
there's find. An obstacle and they keep they
yeah.
the end goal is going to this party and they keep getting sidelined somehow.
Yes.
Right.
Until they finally get to the party.
Yes.
And so I think from there, I guess the next section is this kind of sideline is that's where I kind of where I have a breakdown with this film. I felt this film was too long and it's only an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, I remember watching it like, damn, this is a long ass movie.
Oh, really?
And then I'm looking at the time and I'm like, oh my God, it's like I'm halfway through this. And I think it's the reason is because like I didn't feel like those scenes, those vignettes in between did anything. Like I don't understand like what they were for.
I see what you're saying.
And like I almost started to watch like two parallel movies where it's like this like extreme super bad comedy.
Right.
Where it's like this absurdity, like this mundane, which is very Will Ferrell, which is very like this mundane kind of concept, and they just turn it to the absurdity, right?
Yeah.
Like for example, they go to this boat party.
So let me talk about those two characters. So we have we have several side characters, but two side characters that play a fairly big role in the film is this guy named Jared, who is obviously a rich kid that people don't really like, but they like his stuff. And and he's super generous and like tries to buy people affection. And he really has a crush on Molly. You can see that kind of from the beginning. And she even calls him out on it and says, you can't buy people's affection. And he's like, yeah, I can. My mom and dad do it. Like, and my grandparents did it. Like, of course I can. And then his best friend in the film is Gigi. And it's she's played by Billie Lourd. And she is just like, the quote in the film is like, oh, here comes the 1%. And it's like Gigi and Jared, right?
Yes.
And Gigi is just this over the top, just like when Molly asks her what college she was going to, she goes, oh, don't judge me. It was my fifth choice. I'm going to Harvard. Like, she's just all over the top. And she consistently gets to the next party before Amy and Molly do. And they're like, oh my gosh, how are you getting here? But do you know who Billy Lord's mom is?
Yes. Okay. This is so interesting.
Okay. I was glad.
Billy Lord's mom is...
Carrie Fisher.
Oh, no. Oh, wait. Oh, wait, what?
What?
It's not... It's Carrie Fisher?
It's Carrie Fisher.
Oh, Carrie Fisher from Star Wars. I don't know. I'm having a brain fart. Yes. Who is Reynolds, Debbie Reynolds.
Yes.
Yeah. Third generation Hollywood, yes. Which you don't see like three famous.
You don't see it a lot.
You see two. Yeah. Then three. I think Carrie Washington, not Carrie Washington.
What is our problem today?
I don't know. With Carrie Fisher, yeah. I think she's probably by far the most famous. So you can kind of say two generations.
Oh, but Debbie Reynolds was so famous.
Was she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fair. I guess
so. Billy Lord plays, and it's this really funny character on the side. She's so dramatic. But and we haven't really seen a lot of her.
Star Wars.
Well, yes, but like we haven't really seen a ton yet, I don't think. Like, have you seen Billy Lord in anything?
American Horror Story, Star Wars. She was in some Ryan Reynolds, not Ryan Reynolds, Ryan Murphy. His like serial killer he had like a Fox show with a bunch of like high school serial killers. Oh. Scream Queen.
Oh, Scream Queen. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she was in that.
Yeah,
she was
She's very like. I guess, yeah, I think she's not in a lot of movies, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's probably a lot of television. Yeah. So those are two side characters. So the first party they go to, because they call Jared for a ride, is his boat party where no one's there.
But I guess they were eating like laced strawberries or like,
yes.
And they have this like psychotic like dream where they turn into dolls, which yes. Like, it was a funny scene. And I'm like, this was so unnecessary. Like, this didn't do anything.
Right.
So there were so many of those scenes where I'm just like, where I kind of call in question, not so much the writing, but like the director to say like, does this push the narrative? Like, what does this actually do?
Right.
Because that definitely does go into the absurdity, super bad, kind of like wild, crazy. But then like there's also this other story, like we get to the point where they actually get to the party.
Yeah.
And, you know, each have their kind of crush that they're after.
Yes.
Amy's clearly a lesbian, and she's very open about her lesbianism. Uh-huh. Never kissed a girl, though.
Came out two years ago.
Yep. And like... She sees a girl that she's,
Ryan.
Ryan
is
the girl's
name.
She's super cute.
Skater girl.
Like goofy, really kind of like, hey, what's up, bro?
Yeah.
And so she's like totally, they're doing karaoke and each one are like having these really like cute vignettes of them like flirting.
Yeah, it's cute.
They dive in the, Amy and, what's her name? Oh my gosh.
Ryan,
Amy and Ryan.
Yeah, they dive in the pool. And at this time, we don't know if Ryan's a lesbian.
Yeah,
like people think she is.
Because she's her outward appearance.
Yeah, how she wears, like what clothes she wears and stuff. And she skateboards and all this stuff. So they dive into the pool. And then Molly's crush is Nick.
Yes.
So we find out that even though Molly talks a bunch of shit about Nick
which
and he
is
doesn't
like
do
every,
anything.
Every girl does all of
that.
Us girls
like
have been there.
The guy I hated the most in high school, I also wanted to make out with so badly. And so we find that out. And so it's kind of like, okay, Molly is flirting with Nick at the party and he's showing her how to play beer pong. And she's being really like sassy with him. And
it was so cute to see.
And it was so cute. And he thinks it's so funny. And the thing that I identify with so much in this film is like, we never hear anybody say anything poorly about Molly's weight.
No, and I love that too.
And I like that because it's unnecessary, first of all, and it's a tired fucking trope.
It is.
But like, as someone who's never been thin, like I like that was so nice to see because it's like it seemed so impossible to talk to popular guys in high school and even in college. Even when I was at like my fittest, I was still bigger than all of my friends.
Yes.
You know, and so it was just refreshing to be like, thank God it's not about her weight.
Right. Which like, I want to return to that after we like, kind of finish this, because I think it's really important. So like this scene, this kind of vignette scene finishes where Amy is like, it's this really like very typical like high school.
Or, I'm in under the pool.
Yeah,
in the water.
This high school drama. And she's like, yes, under the pool and the music is playing. And like she starts seeing these two bodies that are like hugging each other in the water and bobbing. And she kind of like comes up from the surface. She sees Nick and Ryan making out.
Yes.
And she's like, I'm out of here. I'm freaking out.
Like the two crushes. Like, but she's like, I don't want Molly to see this.
Yes. Yes.
Right. She's being a good friend because they have this thing in the film called Malala.
Which is
super cute. And basically when you call Malala, the other person has to do, you have to do.
Yeah.
So Molly calls Malala because at one point Amy's like, look, we've been to two parties already.
Yeah.
And it's not the main party. I want to go home. We said we did it. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. We checked it off our list. Yes. And then Molly calls Malala. And so then, you know, Amy's like, oh shit, I've seen these two kissing. We got to get out of here. And she's like, Malala, like, cause
doesn't tell Molly.
Right. And
happened.
Molly doesn't want to go.
Yes.
And she calls Malala and she's like, Amy, no.
Yes. And so this is like the peak of the film.
Yes.
Which is weird. Cause it's actually like really towards the end
right.
of it.
Yes.
Which is, that's one thing I don't,
you didn't love that.
The resolve wasn't enough.
Gotcha.
And so they're yelling at each other. I actually really like this scene. And this is where
it's
I'm
a good
like,
scene.
I'm like, why didn't we see more of this? Like it was so focused on this like absurd comedy where you see these scenes where these girls are going back and forth. And yeah. going back to your point of like, we don't focus on our weight. We focus on her personality.
Yeah.
Because we actually get to see the girl and we actually get to see, she's not a nice person. Like she's
no,
not,
she's bossy.
She's bossy. She's mean.
Controlling.
She's controlling. And you yeah. see them going back and forth.
Yeah.
And then the kind of like the dialogue fades and the music goes. And I loved it. You know what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's the
as
same.
You're saying as they're fighting.
Yes. You the music.
And you see they get lots of good shots in.
Yes.
But then the music fades and they're still screaming at each other.
Dialogue fades. Yeah. The music goes up. And everyone's recording, which I love that kind of like metaphor of like the outside world watching these two friends
yes.
operate, even
yes.
though they feel like in their head they're invisible. In reality, it's like this cool, like in reality,
it
these
is
girls
cool.
were like seen, people knew who they were, but they felt like they're the underdogs. They
right.
felt they were unseen.
Yes.
But then you have this fight where everyone's watching them and the music, and you know the dialogue, you know what they're saying, but they're going back and forth, and they're just like, the acting was so good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why didn't they focus more on this, like, intense scenes? Because there were so many opportunities where these girls could like really dive in and they could have led more up to it, but they were
right.
so much more focused. Like one scene, they're at this murder mystery party, which is the gay boys in this movie.
Oh my gosh,
that's me.
So
as
funny
as
so
characters.
Funny.
There's like all these scenes where I'm like, funny, was it necessary? Could it done more? Could you told more of this story?
I see.
Because the fight happened at the end, you know what I mean? Molly kind of runs away.
Amy runs to the bathroom
yes.
to cry. And then there's a cool girl in there.
Yes.
She's smoking a cigarette, sitting on the toilet. She's always been not very nice to Amy. And she's being a bitch to Amy. And Amy's like, you know what? Just like leave me alone. Like, yeah. I'm not like the way Molly feels about people, that she's like better than people. And I know it's an insecurity, obviously, but it's the same kind of thing in Lady Bird, because like I get that feeling of like
yeah.
thinking that you're like smarter and like no one cares but you, kind of a thing. Amy's not like that. Like Amy
no.
refuses to call the other popular girl AAA because it's demeaning. Like she doesn't really get into the nastiness that Molly kind of displays sometimes.
Yeah.
So she's in the bathroom and she's like, you know what? Leave me alone. She's soaking wet. She's out of the pool. And then this girl is just being a bitch. And she like Amy turns around and kisses her.
Yeah.
And then it proceeds to, she basically has her first sexual experience with a girl. And so, and then this girl is like obviously gay
yeah.
and she's, or bisexual at least, and is like into it. And so they start like making out. She accidentally like fingers her ass instead of her vagina. Like,
hilarious.
And so she's like, that's not the hole that you think it is.
Oh.
And she's like so embarrassed. And then she ends up like throwing up on her and all of these things. But that's, you know, it kind of turns into this like, oh, wow. They say throughout the movie, you know, she's never kissed I've never kissed a girl. I've
yeah.
been out for 2 years, you know, but it's never happened for me. And she's obviously shy about it.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, Molly is doing what?
What was Molly doing? She was trying to get home, right?
Yeah.
She was.
So she started walking home.
Yes. And then Jared picks her up.
No, right? AAA picks her up.
Oh, AAA picks her up. You're right. Which is a good scene. And
that's
right. I'm thinking of another one. That's a good scene. And it really reminds me of the scene in Lady Bird with very similar character. I can't remember her name, but she was like the girl that Lady Bird kind of ditches.
The popular girl, yeah, Jenna.
And it was very the similar kind of like, you can't judge a book by its cover. Yeah. AAA is like, okay, yeah, I was picking up these guys and giving them a ride home. I did suck their dicks, but like, I'm not going to suck their dicks in my parents' house. And it was,
because she was like, I want to enjoy it too.
Yeah. So it's this kind of moment of like, okay, you know what I mean? I can't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
I will say though, the one thing is like, another critique about this movie, there was way too many fucking characters that they focus on.
It was a lot. And I feel like when I watched it a second time, I asked Seth, I was like, is this movie going to, like, are these scenes really quick?
Yeah.
Because it felt like they did pack a lot into the film and they had to get through it really quickly. Yeah.
Well, because they had so many characters, they had to tie everybody together. Like Miss Fine comes to, like, drops a girl off.
So funny.
And like gives them clothes. And it was this cool like Cinderella moment with their fairy godmother. And then she goes in and is like,
and she's like, you guys, what if I came in? Yeah. She's like, wouldn't that be so funny? Like, yeah, what if I came in? And then she comes in because the kid that's gotten recruited for Google has like a big crush on her.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're 20, right? Like, and they obviously hook up.
And I'm like, that's not necessary. Like, that wasn't necessary for anything.
Yeah.
So there were so many unnecessary, you know what I mean, kind of concepts that I just felt like if there was more editing. And again, it goes back to director. Like, I didn't think the writing was poor. I thought it was good writing. I thought it was fucking funny. I thought the acting was hilarious to see these young girls, like, just, like, have so much nuance. Mm-hmm. I thought Beanie was, like, incredible. Like you said, it was so amazing to see someone of a larger body size never being demeaned for the size, being called beautiful or pretty, being flirted with the cop. And, like, clearly, like, Nick was flirting with her. It wasn't, like, faking. And still be in power and just be a shitty person because she has a shitty attitude. You know what I mean? It wasn't because she's a fat girl. You know,
right.
It was clear she loved her body. She thought she was beautiful. It was never...
Very empowered.
Yes. Never Absolutely. Did I ever look at her and see insecurity because of her body.
Yes.
Or it wasn't at the forefront. Her insecurities was because she felt like she was the best.
Well, right. And like you see throughout the film, like,
or needed to be the best. Sorry.
Right. And these two women, I mean, but another thing I'd like to mention too, in a minute, but like throughout the film, it's like they have Elizabeth Warren bumper stickers. Like this is current feminism, we are women, hear us roar. Like, because the trope for so long has been like fat girls are ugly and like you'll never get a popular guy. And like that wasn't really part of the film, which I really liked. And another tired narrative that I didn't see that I was so happy not to see is Amy is gay and it's talked about a little that she's gay. It's never about her coming out.
Yeah, like wasn't in coming every out story, which was, oh my God, I didn't think about that.
Which I thought about this because this is the second time I watched it last night, was like every time we have a gay teenager, it's always about them coming out.
Yeah.
And we never really see the aftermath of it, or maybe it's like a little bit ways into the future. But with Amy's story, it's just like, yeah, she's gay. She likes girls. She's never kissed a girl because she's really shy.
Right.
But it wasn't anything to do with coming out.
Well, and I think one reason for that was because, I mean, coming out stories do happen between two friends, but typically the friend is like either helping them through that journey or like pushing them to come out.
Yes.
There were barely any parents in this film. Very different from Lady Bird.
Yes. You don't even see Molly's parents.
Molly doesn't even have parents. She's just living in her own condo.
She lives in an apartment. Yes. And then Amy lives in a more traditional, like,
two-parent
household. Which
you do see
household.
Her parents, but they were the comedic relief.
And they're Lisa Kudrow and Will Forte. Very funny. And then it's said in the film that they are like very religious.
Liberal Christians.
And like liberal Christians. And
yeah. So you never, it really truly, very different from Lady Bird, which I like this film more, is because like you got to focus on the actual girls.
Yes.
In their own kind of natural environment. Yeah. It wasn't this kind of force like my mom's here, so I have to behave a certain way.
Right.
So you got to really focus on just the girls. Any parent that you saw was like, were comedic relief. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Were funny. They were like funny moments. They weren't there to like judge them or to like, you know what I mean, you need to be better, you need to be adults.
Yeah.
They were shitty adults themselves.
Yeah, it wasn't, yeah.
Which was really refreshing. You know, I think overall my problem with the film kind of can be wrapped up at the end. So at the end, Amy, you know, decides to run after Molly.
after they have this big blowout.
And is arrested by the police because the cops got called to the party.
And she decides, you know what? This is like my badass moment. Yeah. And I'm going to create a diversion. And she ends up getting arrested.
Hilarious. Just running. You know, Molly goes home, wakes up the next day.
Which is graduation day. She's the speaker.
And she's like running late. She like gets this video from Amy. It's like, I'm in jail. This is my...
Everyone is sending her texts and videos. Yeah. Like, did you see what happened with Amy? Because she has no idea. And so she gets a video from one of the classmates. And it's like Amy, you know, getting arrested by the cops. And she's like, holy shit, I got to go bail my friend out of jail.
Yes.
So that's what she goes and does. And they kind of make up.
Yes, kind of. Yes,
kind of.
They go to graduation. They use what's his name's car, this hot rod,
Jared's which is car. This Pontiac that's like painted with flames, and they're just rolling in, break the fence.
Ridiculous. Again, ridiculous. Going back to the absurdity, she gives this kind of mediocre speech of like, I'm going to, you know.
Well, she kisses Jared in front of everybody.
Yeah, so it's this very like, you know, Bueller's they use these like, tropes that we see from these male high school graduation.
Yes.
They use a lot of these tropes and they put a female in it, which I think is like, hey, it shows like these tropes are not just male-based driven.
No, they're not. They're can not. Use
them. My kind of issue with the end is like they never truly like, I don't see them actually making up. I don't see them like actually kind of like, you know, when you get in a fight with your best friend, there's all those moments where you have to like admit the truth. Like the truth, you have to wrestle with those truths. And I don't really see that. You know, at the end, Amy kind of goes off. She like.
So before you go into that, the big issue with the fight is that Molly has this plan that she's going to Yale. Amy's going to Columbia. They're going to graduate at the same time. They're going to go to Europe for an after graduation trip. And she's planned their life. And Amy is going to Botswana for the summer to help like women make tampons or something like, that's what it is. And so what she hasn't told Amy is that she's actually not going for the summer. She's going for she's taking a gap year. And then so when that's said, you can see Molly going like, well, when the fuck did you decide that? And Amy says, when I applied. Yeah. So she's been holding on to this for like several months.
And
basically Molly is saying, you're ruining our plan. And Amy's like, this isn't our plan. This is your plan.
Yeah.
And so that's like the height of the fight. Is like you know, Amy's had this big secret and you can kind of tell in the film that she's wanting to avoid talking about like next year because she knows I'm going to be in Africa still.
Yeah.
And so at the end we see them, you know, in the, you know, at graduation and they're very proud of each other and they've made up a little bit. But
it's still revolving around, them graduating. Revolving around that night and that memory? It's about the memory they've created and about the memory they were about to create with graduation and the kind of success.
Right.
It's not truly like this makeup about like what you said was right.
They never talk about the fight.
Yeah, they never talk about the fight. You know what I mean? At the end, you kind of see Amy talking to the cool girl. Like she gets her number. Mm-hmm. She kind of gets that, you know what I mean, love arc kind of gets resolved.
Mm-hmm. And Molly is like so excited for her.
Yeah, and Molly's in the window. And it was super cute. There's all these super cute moments.
Definitely.
Then the last moment was very similar to Lady Bird. Molly drops Amy off at the airport. They have this moment where they weren't going to like actually say anything and say like, I miss you. I love you. I'm so sorry. Nothing like that.
Yeah.
Amy kind of walks away. Molly's like, in this, I really did thought I was tearing up because Molly's crying.
Yeah.
You could just really see. And Beanie is so fucking good.
Yeah, she's great.
Being, you know what I mean? Just heartbroken.
Right.
And then like Amy comes back out and is like, gotcha, bitch.
Yeah. Like she almost hits her with the car and she's like, let's go get some fucking pancakes. And like,
it was like, it was funny. It's cute.
They do apologize to each other when they're talking on like the jail phones.
It's not enough.
But for you, you're wanting more of like a, we need to talk explicitly about like what was said.
I want to see that. Or I want to see it. It's the same kind of issue I had with Lady Bird.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to see.
Because at the end, we're thinking maybe they are talking about it over pancakes, but we don't know.
Yeah. And again, it's just like, what isn't seen. Like
you don't like the ambiguity.
I don't like the ambiguity, especially since this movie.
Or left unsaid. That's what you don't like.
I don't like that. Since this movie showed me all these fucking absurd scenes I did not need to see. I'm like, you should have been focusing on this shit because this is far more interesting. And that's the thing. It's like I'm emotionally invested more than Lady Bird. I was emotionally invested in these characters. Like I really wanted to root with them because like at the end of the day, both the girls learn. It's just like, well, shit, we're not as hot shit as we are. So we have to focus on like the friendship.
And we have. And what they learn is, wow, we need to make so much more room for new experiences. Yeah. Like we think we have it all planned out. We missed out because we thought we knew better.
Right. And it's such a good like concept, especially for young women who typically do so much better in college, so much better in high school, who are told to be. And going back to this kind of, again, this is another one I'm like, you touched on this concept, like this is a very feminist forward movie. Mm. And I'm just like, I wish they focus more on this female friendship. Mm. I wish they focus more on this, like, you don't have to be a bitch. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have, you can be smart. You can be cool. You can be this multifaceted woman. And I think they kind of did that, but like there's so many absurd moments where I'm just like, you have all these, like if you're going to show all these women, show this younger actually connecting with these women. Like the moment when she was with AAA in the car, I was like, that was a good moment. I wish I had more of that. I wish like the Billie Lord character had a connection where they were like.
I thought she was so fucking funny.
I thought
she
was funny, but I was like. They used her as like a slapstick, like.
Yeah, it wasn't. There was no
crazy
depth.
There was no depth.
I mean, exactly. So like. At the beginning of the movie, you know, when Molly's like, we're going to this party, she's like, we are not one dimensional. We are fun, but people don't know, right?
Yeah.
People just know us this way. And it's like, well, that's how you've presented yourself. That's all they know about you.
Yes.
And people were actually excited that they came to the party.
Yeah.
That was the other thing. There was no hate once they were there.
And I wish they were like, I wish she had a moment where she was like, she realized that. She just kind of, it just happened so fast.
Yeah.
All these moments and all these lessons, I feel like, for young women who go into college, who are leaving high school, where it's just like, I wish they really kind of tighten in and focus on stop with the.
It
like
was
the,
pretty subtle in a lot of parts.
Yeah, and I'm like, really hit this because it's really important for young girls to see. Like, I think about my young cousin all the time who's like, she's like 13, 14 or 13. And I'm like, I feel like she struggles so much about like, what does it mean to be a woman or a young woman?
Yeah.
And like, I think so much media like just shows these like strict archetypes and they tend to be in these silos.
Mm.
I mean, this is a good opportunity to show so many different type of girls that are just kind of mundane average, which is another kind of trope within Lady Bird. Like this mundane average, like, you know what I mean? Everyday kind of girl.
Yeah.
I wish they took more time to focus like, all of these girls are average just, but they're also incredible for in their own kind of way.
Right.
And I think they just like flipped the pages and they had so many opportunities too. I don't think it was a bad movie though. Like,
but
I
would, you could wish it was like kind of tighter.
I wish it was a little bit tighter. Okay. I kind of question like Olivia's like directorship because I'm like.
And it's her first one.
It was her first one. I wish it was a lot more tighter. I wish it was a little less kind of like goofy buddy comedy. Or I wish it was, it needed to either be more and like the kind of themes it was like trying to hit on was like lighten up even more.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Or since it had so many like really heavy themes, like make it dense, make it a little bit more like Lady Bird, make it a little bit more like a darker comedy. That's what I meant when I'm like, I watched two films.
I see what you're saying.
I wish it was one or the other. Because if it was just like funny, absurd, like these girls were high the whole entire time and they're like experiencing, I would still watch that movie. It might have been funnier. You know what I mean? And that's why I'm thinking with audience, they're like, I don't know how to interpret this film.
Yeah. I will say,
that's why I see that 70 something. It's like, as an audience member, I was like, how am I supposed to interpret this film?
Well, and I think too, in regards to that, is like, it has a knock against it because it's female driven. Like we are not at a point where audiences look at that and say like, that's funny because it's funny. It's always going to be compared to like what boys have done in the past. And it's always going to be like, you know, women aren't as funny as men. Like we are not as a society like ready for that. Well, some of us are, but like, we're not there yet.
No,
I don't think.
For sure.
And so I think when people watch this, they're like, because we haven't been able to see something like this before, it's harder. And there was some, like, it could have been tighter and there was some subtleties that I think could have been elevated. But I don't think people, like, knew what to do with it because it was kind of the first one.
Yeah, that's true. I was excited to watch. I mean, now looking back, I wasn't excited to watch it because, like, it's felt, looked, and smelt too much like Lady Bird. Now watching it, I'm like, oh, this is
interesting.
This is funny. I really enjoy this. This is really, and my thing was, like, I could see the tropes that they use. And I think maybe because men did it first, we have the frame of mind, like, oh, well, you think about, like, Animal Party. You think about, like,
Animal House.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But Superbad was definitely the one.
You think about Superbad.
Yeah.
And you're not thinking about, okay, no, this is just a trope. You can enter any gender.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a good point.
And I will say the one thing about Gigi, though, because this is one of the subtleties that was touched on briefly, but it's never explored, like you said, like, with the depth. Like, because at one point, I think it's Molly that it's talking to Jared, and she's like, why are you hanging out with this girl? Why do you drive her everywhere?
Yeah.
Why? Because she's so blinded by the fact that she's above it that she doesn't get to know her colleagues. And so I think a lot of the viewing that we see about not getting a lot of depth with these characters is through Molly's eyes.
Oh, that's a good point.
And so it's like we're seeing what Molly sees, which is not taking the effort or the time to get to know her classmates. And so what Jared says in that scene is like, Gigi is the most loyal person I've ever met. She is my best friend. Like,
but I'd rather see that than hear it.
Right. But I think that part of the reason is we're seeing it through Molly's eyes, kind of a little bit Amy's, mostly Molly's, that I'm not taking the time to get to know my classmates. And I'm seeing a very quick snippet of things. And it's not a lot of depth because I haven't allowed myself the opportunity. And I also haven't been mature enough to understand that.
And maybe that's what it's missing. It's like that.
Yeah.
That's a big difference between when you're super young and then you're getting towards your 30s. It's like, I think young people have to hear it. And like, I rather see it.
Yeah.
Like I
see what you're saying.
I want to see Molly sitting there and seeing Gigi, you know what I mean? Helping Jared or patting Jared on the back or telling Jared, like holding his face, he's like, you're incredible, you're amazing. After he gets, you know what I mean? Those moments where you can see the character, like, brain starting to tick.
Totally.
It was too much of like, oh, that's a good person, or oh, he's funny, or and
see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? They have those moments where, like, you know what I mean, you have Amy in the pool. Like, she physically, you can see the heartbreak.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, why can't we see these young people becoming adults? That's what I wanted to see.
That's interesting. And along that line, I was happy that the fact that the issues that were going on were very high school.
Yeah, that was great too.
I liked that they kept it in high school. It's about where are you going to college? It's about boys. It's about grades. It's not these, you know, it wasn't, they didn't make it more than it needed to be.
Yeah, that was one thing about Lady Bird. I mean, granted, like Lady Bird had the mother, and so you got to see family drama, and you got to see like financial hardship. And that was like super hard. That's one reason why you're kind of like, I hated the movies, because you have these serious topics and you have this like girl who's like, but in this movie you just had like easy breezy, low stake problems.
And it was just a comment.
Yeah.
And there were some, you know, some heart swelling moments and some tears and stuff, but like it was funny and it was a comedy and it wasn't trying to be something it wasn't.
I thought it was much more impactful as a coming of age, because like I like to see I like a good coming of age where it's just the peers, it's just friends, like learning how to become adults without an adult in the room, because it's a totally different atmosphere when you bring an adult in the room. Absolutely. You asked me the question, what would I rate it? I think I would agree with audience. It's like a 7, maybe like a 7.8.
Seven. Okay.
I could, if someone said like that's an 8, I would be like, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
It's a strong movie. I would definitely watch it again.
Nice.
I would definitely recommend. If someone was like, would you recommend Booksmart? I'm like, yeah, it's a pretty funny movie.
Yeah.
I think it lacks some depth that could be there.
Yeah.
And I think it had some depth. I think it could have won a lot more awards.
Yeah.
And I think if Olivia was I think she needs a little bit more practice. And I think if she could step out, I'm excited to see what this thriller, the next one.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see where she goes with this. And I really do like when, like, I feel like we're in an age now where, like, we're focusing on like the films for what they are and not the fact that like, oh my gosh, it's a female film. So yeah. like I have to feel a certain way about it. It's like, no, I feel like it's becoming a touch more normalized.
Yeah.
And we're just enjoying these movies for what they are. And we can celebrate the fact that they are directed by women. But I'm just really excited for more. Now we have Chloe Zhao that just won, I mean, an Oscar for Best Director. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're really getting to a place where we can start enjoying these films and celebrate the women that make them without making it all about the fact that it was a woman who directed it.
Yeah.
Right.
And as a person who likes, who loves movies, I try not to like, my goal is never to compare, especially a female director, never compare her to like a male counterpart.
Exactly.
I want to look at her for what she does.
Exactly.
I want to look at what you mean. I want to see her trajectory and see
yes.
what her films speak to her yes, experience.
Absolutely.
And I think it's so important that this movie had a female director, had female screenwriters, had female producers. I think this movie would have been totally different and not as successful if it was just like it had a peppering of more males in it. I think this was a female story. It felt like, mm-hmm. I felt like women were in the room when they wrote this movie.
Yeah.
I could Agreed. Sense like, I'm not a female, a biological female. spiritually, I might be.
Spiritually.
But like, there were certain jokes and certain kind of just innuendos. I'm like, only a woman could have wrote this.
Yeah.
Only a woman has experienced this. And yes. I love that.
And it was so refreshing.
Yes.
Because when men try to tell
women's,
women's tales, or especially young women,
yeah,
I'm totally like, go fuck different. Yourself. Like, totally you don't
different.
Know.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
It's totally different to be a woman, to be a young girl in this world. Like, it's totally different. And yeah. only a woman who has experienced that. Mm-hmm. Can tell that story.
Yeah.
So
absolutely
great movie.
Good. This is great.
I'm not that bad, y'all.
Well, we wish we could tell you what we're doing next, but
I have some ideas.
Oh, because we did get our recommendation from the producers. Okay, no,
we'll say that.
Well, maybe we let's not say for
let
sure.
Let me throw some ideas out there.
Throw and it
then
out.
Then y'all, I'm just talking to y'all. Y'all tell me Hit if it's stupid. I think we should do a musical next. Ooh. I don't know what musical, but I'm thinking a musical.
Chicago.
That would be a great, that would be a good one to
We
kick
can
off.
Talk about our favorite person, Queen Latifah.
Yeah. I think Chicago is it. Oh, I think shit. My next one's Chicago. Okay,
I'd be down.
Everyone tell us, Chicago or Bridesmaids?
I'm going to put a poll on Instagram.
Yes.
And should we listen to my Instagram? Oh my God. I almost said, should we listen to my Instagram followers? It's just like friends I went to college with and like my dad. So who is, should we let it decide that way?
Yes. Chicago okay.
or Bridesmaids.
Which our producer, Ryan.
Yes.
He
wants
it.
Bridesmaids.
So y'all tell us which one we should do.
Okay, I'm gonna do a polly poll.
I love Chicago openly. So.
Of course. It's amazing.
Yes. And there's some good, maybe I'll lead that one if we do Chicago.
I would love that.
Yes.
I would love that. Okay. Thanks for listening. This was a fun one. I'm glad we got to do it. This is probably the first movie I suggested when we first started the podcast, wasn't it?
It was.
It
no,
was
it really
one of the
was.
Very
it
first
was
ones.
First
this
one.
Was supposed to be our second episode, actually.
It was.
After
are.
Wonder Woman. So here we are at episode 12.
Episode 12.
Thanks for listening, and we appreciate it very much. Subscribe to Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Ah, and thank you, Speak Boise.
Yes, thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Colin.
And you've been listening to
Let's Hear It for the girls.
It's always a great time at Speak Studios in Boise, Idaho, and we hope you enjoy learning about the girls.
Now listen, you better like, subscribe, and review us on all major platforms. We'll see you next time.
And thanks for listening. Thank you.